So let's talk about this. Big words. We're in our third week of 4 weeks of talking about big words. And I want to start off by asking this question. How many of you have ever been on a stressful vacation? Yeah, some of you are like, I've heard you say it. I had to come home so I could get some rest after the vacation. And sometimes it's about just the travel. It's like we got to be there today because we got tickets and the tickets are $7,000 a piece and we don't want to be late and all that stuff. I hope they're not $7,000. But expensive places, right? Disney World, it's $1,000 a day to go and you don't want to be late. You don't want to miss 5 minutes. So you hurry, hurry, hurry. And sometimes the journey of getting there, the joy in the journey is lost. It's just about getting to the place and then getting home. And so we lose the joy of the journey. John Maxwell wrote a book many years ago called The Success Journey. And he said, in so many words, success is not a destination. Success is a journey. You have to enjoy the journey because you don't know if you're going to get to the destination or not on earth. You might reach your goals or you might not. And either way is okay as long as you have a good journey. And this the big word we're going to talk about today comes out of this idea of taking a journey. Now, we've talked about what it means to be justified and how God sets us right. He erases our past. Between us and Him, He doesn't remember our past against us ever again. Justification. Then there's regeneration we talked about last week, and that's when God remakes us all over again. He changes us. He turns us into a new person. The Bible uses the terminology to be born again, and we start over, and we're regenerated. Today, the word is sanctification. It's one of those big words that we sometimes just read right over and don't spend any time on and don't dig down on. So I want to take just a few minutes this morning and let's just dig down on this one. This word sanctification, it's a simple word, really. It means that God is going to set you apart for His purposes. So you've been justified, your slate's been wiped clean, you've been regenerated, you've been remade, and then He's going to put you on a path. This is where it gets very practical. The idea of our sins being washed away, we love that. The idea that we're a new person after we accept Christ, we love that. But then sanctification is where it gets real practical when we start living the Christian life. Now make no mistake that the sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit, but He wants to cooperate with us, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. So to make this word a little more accessible, I want to change it up just a little bit. Instead of sanctification, I want to call it sanctification. It's God turning you into a saint. And some of you are like, you don't know my husband, all right? I believe in miracles, but woo! All right, listen, we all get it. It's a process, right, of God turning us into a saint. Now, none of us in this room feel like saints. I think we all know that we're flawed and we're messed up and all that stuff, but the Bible does call us saints. When the Apostle Paul is writing, he calls us this. And he's really saying to us, you've been, your slate's been wiped clean, you've been regenerated, you are on this path to becoming a saint. You are on a path where God has set you apart so He can use you for His glory. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, God wants to sanctify you through and through. I remember at youth camp many years ago, there was a little boy in the cabin, and they were going around the room kind of testifying of all the good stuff that had happened in the worship service that night, and everybody was excited. It had just been a great time in the presence of the Lord, this little boy says, I was saved, and this little boy says, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it comes to this one other little boy, and he said, I just want to thank the Lord I got saved tonight. And then he paused, and he said, but don't get any ideas. I'm still mean. All right? Now, that's honesty right there. That's honesty. That's the God of peace wanting to sanctify you through and through. You give your life to Christ, there's still some stuff to deal with. You still got some habits going on. There's still some problems. There's still some inclinations. And so we hold on to those unless we allow God to do this work of grace in us, to sanctify us, to take us on this journey. Now look, when we are sanctified, it's really that he wants to work on us to develop us into powerhouses for his glory. He wants to turn you into somebody that can honor him. And if I keep on living my old lifestyle, then I have to question, was I really changed? If I keep on doing the things I was doing before I prayed the prayer and said I accepted Christ, have I really changed? If I'm not cooperating with him in this process, has my heart changed? It's a tough question, but it's important to answer it in our personal lives. Do I desire what God desires for me? Do I want what God wants for me? So I want us to look at three things this morning that sanctification is in our lives. Sanctification is an ongoing process, an ongoing process. We're growing, all right? Hebrews 2:11 says this, for both he who sacrifices and those who are sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. Now let's stop right there. He said, for he who sanctifies, God, he's the one who sanctifies us. He's the one that empowers us on this journey. He's the one that changes us. And those, all of us who have given our lives to Christ, those who are being sanctified are all one. You are being sanctified. Your life is changing. You hopefully are becoming more like Christ daily. That your life is looking the way he wants it to look, a little more each day. Now, some people give their heart to Christ and it just seems like they're immediate saints. And the rest of us are like, come on, man, you're making us look bad. All right. And then there's the rest of us that we got some junk. We're dragging some junk. We don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to handle it. We got to grow. It's a process. Humans have the capacity to grow. You and I have the capacity to grow. Just like a baby starts out, a baby learns to roll over, then it learns to crawl, and then it learns to walk, and then it learns to run, and then it learns to spend your money. All right, so it's just a process, right? It starts here and goes to there. You would never take your baby home and go, all right, I'm going to teach you how to run tomorrow. Come on, I got you some new shoes. Some of you spend that $50 on Nikes when they're in diapers. Come on, come on, all right? Listen, you're never going to say that to that baby. I'm going to make a runner out of you this week. Never would happen. Never. In the sanctification process, no matter where you are right now, God has farther for you to go. This is important. Every one of us starts our journey with the Lord at a different place. Some of us started our journey with straight out of addiction and, I mean, just all kinds of problems. We came to Jesus and we're like, Lord, I want to surrender it to you. I got 14 court dates coming up I need some help with. And so it's okay. Some of us came to Christ and we're like, Lord, I stole a peanut from Piggly Wiggly when I was 7 and I don't ever want to steal another one, you know. I mean, and that was me. All right, so I had to repent. I had to repent of that peanut. We're all starting from a different place. Thank God, though, that I'm not what I used to be. And thank God that I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm on this upward trajectory. That's what sanctification is. Sanctification is God dismantling you so he can remake you in a better way. Think about when you restore a car. You have to take that car apart and you got to start from scratch. You got to work on it. There's some sanding involved. Listen, sanding on the human spirit hurts. It's painful, all right? The same thing that God is, that a mechanic or a body man is doing to that car, God is doing to us. If you've ever remodeled your house, you start tearing things out. Every time we remodel something here at the church, I like to get in on the beginning because I'm a real good demolition man. Now, when it comes to putting it back together, I got to get some other guys up here and say, all right, this is, show me how to put this back together. God knows how to take you apart, and he knows how to put you back together. But growth is not a straight line. It doesn't just happen. You don't just get saved and just straight line all the way to heaven. That's not the way it works. It's a winding path. So sometimes it's a two steps forward and one step back. Sometimes you're like, I can't believe I messed up on that again. I've been trying so hard. I've confessed it. I've worked on it. And I still made that stupid choice one more time. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You start this journey with the Lord and you give him some room to work in your life. It's a long journey. The Pan American Highway really is a system of highways that goes all the way from Alaska to the tip of Argentina. There's only two people on record that have walked the entire thing. Now listen, it's like 15,000 miles. And so they start at one point at the top or the bottom, and they walk to the other end. The first guy that did it was a long time ago, 50, 60 years ago, and he did it in about 7 years. Took him 7 years. He took a very winding, circuitous route to get there. The next person that did it, she did it in less than a year and a half, because she figured out that it was some better roads and some more direct paths, and she did it in less than a year and a half. She saved 5.5 years off of his time. Now listen, some of us are going the circuitous route. Some of us have made some bad decisions. Here's my thing. If you have to repent your way to heaven, hold on to the altar. Don't quit just because you mess up. You've heard it. You only lose if you quit. All right, you just got to stay on the journey. It's a process. There's progress that happens every day. The second thing we need to know about sanctification, sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit that requires our cooperation. It's the miraculous work of God in us. Think back to where you came from a long time ago. Think back to where you came from and where you are today, and you go, boy, I wish I could take credit for all that, but I know I can't. It was more miraculous than it was me. And we give God the credit for it, but God requires our cooperation. Galatians 2 and 20 says this, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. He said, I've been crucified and I no longer live. It's not me, but Christ lives in me. It's a cooperation thing. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he says there's some cooperation. I died. The old man is dead. And now it's Christ alive in me. Philippians 2 says this, and I love this scripture. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. He said, look, you have really done well. He's complimenting them. He said, you've obeyed the Lord, not just when I've been there and watching, but you've been obeying the Lord when I've been gone. He said, I just want to compliment you on that. And then he says this, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now this is important. I've heard it where people try to interpret this scripture by saying, work out your own salvation. They say that means you can believe whatever you want to believe. And the Bible never tells us that's okay. The Bible tells us the only way to salvation is through Jesus, that Scripture is God's Word. So he's not telling us, hey, work out your own way to be saved. He's saying, I need you to work out your sanctification journey with fear and trembling. I need you to be, when you are making decisions about your next step in your journey with the Lord, I want you to be doing that with fear and trembling before God. The Bible says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Can I just tell you, I don't think we in America have a lot of fear of God anymore. We don't ask, the first question is not, what does God think? The first question is, what do I think? What do I want? Fear and trembling says, I'm coming to God saying, Lord, I want my life to look like you want it to look. What should I do? What should I do? I remember as a young Christian asking a lot of things like, well, is this a sin? Here's what I wanted to do. I wanted a yes or no. I wanted somebody to say, you can get this close to the edge without falling off. I want permission to go all the way to the edge. Here's the problem. If you play around at the edge, you eventually fall off. He says, I need you to continue to work out your salvation, your sanctification journey, with fear before the Lord, with trembling before the Lord. What is God saying? What does God want? How is God working? How can I cooperate with God? What does God want from me today? And start that journey by saying, Lord, you're in charge, not me. Here's number three. Sanctification is the process that points us toward holy living. It points us toward holy living. Hebrews 12, 14. Strive for peace with everyone. That's a big one. Get along with everybody, it says. For the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. He said, I want you to strive to be okay with everybody, to get along with everybody, but I also want you to strive for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. It goes back to that fear and trembling thing. He said, look, you need to be holy before God. Romans 6, 1 through 2 says this, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Think about it when you were a kid and you did something, I don't know, let's say you broke the front window out with a baseball. I don't know anybody that ever did that, but I'm just saying. You broke the front window out with a baseball. It was a perfect, you know, throw home, except it went awry at the last minute. All right, and your grandmother came out of the house and she immediately went, who did that? I'm talking about your grandmother, not mine. And who threw that ball through the living room window? And all my cousins, I'm sorry, I just told on myself. All my cousins are out there. And everybody's like, except me. I'm like, that was me. I did it. And she, here's what she did. Don't do it again. And walked in the house. That was the end of it. I don't know who fixed the window. I don't know who paid for the window. I don't know any of it. All I know was I was in trouble. I was in trouble, and I was immediately spiritually justified. My grandmother forgave me, wiped it off the slate, and moved on from that. Now listen, if sometimes when we in life, when we get away with stuff long enough, we think that everybody's just okay with our bad behavior. And sometimes when it comes to God, when we know that he will forgive us, when he's going to wash away our sins, when we know that his grace is for us, we kind of want to edge up to the side. We want to just live as close to the edge as we can. And the Apostle Paul said, just because there's grace, should we keep on sinning so that grace, God can show us more and more grace? And then he says, in the King James, I like it even better, he says, God forbid that you keep making stupid sin decisions just because you can be forgiven. He's like, look, I want you to grow in this process. I want to do something in your life. We have to be self-aware about this. Don't make excuses. Own it. Don't overlook your bad behavior. Own it. Don't take advantage of God's grace. Trust his grace, but allow God to work in us, to sanctify us so that he can make us better, so that he can make us more like him. You see, we've got to choose if we're going to embrace sin or are we going to embrace God's way of doing life. We get to choose that. Sometimes we struggle with growth. Sometimes we're reading our Bible. Listen, here's a tough one. You're reading your Bible, and one day it says, if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. And you're like, wow, that one hurts. But I'm justified in being mad at them. I just feel like I deserve to stay mad a little bit longer. I feel like I should be able to hang on to this for a little while. And then we read it again, and God said, if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. That hurts a little bit. That's when we have to struggle with growth. When we got to start working through stuff, when we got to start examining our ways and our motives and our decisions and saying, God, I need your help. I need you to help me walk this sanctification process out so that I am better after this and not worse. There's choices we got to make. Which way are we going to do? Are we going to embrace our old life? Are we going to embrace our new life? So how do we embrace growth? I want to give you a handful of tools, all right? So if you're taking notes, grab your phone, and you're going to need to snap a picture because we're going to move quick from here on out, all right? Tools that help us in our sanctification journey. If I want to grow in my relationship with the Lord, reading and studying God's word. Reading and studying God's word. All right? Praying. Fellowshipping with other believers. You know, you got to be around other people who are strong in the Lord. You need somebody who will call you out when you mess up and encourage you when you need it and pray for you when you're down. Fellowship. We got to have it. Giving. Giving is God's way of teaching us not to be selfish. All right? Serving. Again, God uses this to teach us not to be selfish. That's one of those laborers into the harvest thing. Serving. And then get involved in a local church family. Get involved in a local church family. Many years ago, when you know, all of our phone numbers were in the phone book. Remember those days? Anybody that old? Yeah. And my number was listed, my house number, the phone on the wall, not the one in my pocket, the one on the wall, was listed under the church name. And so I got people calling us all kind of crazy hours of the night. I'm at, you know, I'm such and such a place, and I need some gas. And you're a preacher, right? You'll help me. I'm like, I love Jesus, but man, it's 3 a.m. I don't know what would. Anyway, I did some of it. I made some bad decisions in that probably. But my number was there, and I would also get people that were a little bit spiritually kooky calling. And they would make claims, you know, like, you know, one guy told me one time that, you know, God called me to agitate the church. I'm like, well, you're irritating the devil out of me right now. I don't even know. I actually did say to him, you are good at your job, bro. Listen, we as I was digging, there's so much more I can't tell you about that. So much more. I actually held the phone down like this for 45 minutes while he explained to me what was wrong with the church world. And I finally said, where do you go to church? And he said, I don't go to church. I was like, come on, man. Are you kidding me? You got no accountability. You just calling people in the phone book. Local church family matters. It just matters. Now here at Grace Point, we have a very simple goal. Our goal is very simple. Our mission statement is this. Take a look. To help each other take our next step in Christ. That's it. That's the end of the mission statement. Our goal here is to help each other take our next step in our journey with the Lord. That's it. Now, when we do that, though, it gets messy sometimes. We got to get a little dirty to help each other. We got to take some time, and we got to spend some money, and we got to go the extra mile. It gets a little messy. But we want to provide a place here at Grace Point where people can come and grow. All right? Where they, all of us, our friends, our family, people who've never even heard of Jesus, can come and grow. Now, to do that, one of the reasons we do that is this next slide. Sometimes people need a place to belong before they can believe. Sometimes, I'm having a terrible time with this microphone. I know y'all are watching this. Feels like I'm a lion tied up to something here. Sometimes people need a place to belong before they can believe. Now listen, when I was a kid, everybody in my town knew about Jesus. I grew up in a small town. Everybody knew about Jesus. You could say, Jesus is watching. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay, I got to quit doing bad stuff, right? Nowadays, if you say, Jesus is watching, they're like, who is he? Where's he from? Is he from around here? I don't know who that is. It's a different world. If people were raised in church and they know the truth, then when they come to church the first time in a long time, they can make a decision about whether or not they want to follow Christ. Listen, when I was young, when people didn't want to follow Christ, they just didn't go to church. It's like, stay away from church. But then when they finally came to church, you knew something's changing. They're ready to commit their life to the Lord. Those days are over. That when people just walk in for the very first time, don't know anything about us, they don't know if we're eating live chickens in the back room. They've heard rumors. We are not eating live chickens in the back room, all right? That's on the fourth Sunday of the month. All right, so it is the fourth Sunday. Maybe we are doing it. I don't know. Maybe we are. People, this one just has gone off the rails right here. People don't have a concept of what's in the Bible. They don't know who God is. Who's this Holy Spirit? It's just like the Apostle Paul going around saying, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, who is this Holy Spirit? We haven't heard. What are you talking about? So people need some time. Sort of warm up a little bit. Make sure people over here are not crazy. Because when y'all make all that noise during worship, people are like, it's a lot. You know, I want you to make noise. That's for Jesus, all right? That's what we're supposed to do. But when somebody comes the first time, they're like, I'm not sure about this. I need to get to know these people a little bit. I need to watch. I need to learn a little bit. What do they believe? What's going on? Why are they so happy all the time? They're just smiling. They're hugging everybody. I mean, it seems like life is good around here. Why is this different than work or home? I need to investigate a little bit. And so along the way, our goal is to try to develop a culture here at Grace Point that sort of allows people to be a part of the family before they have to commit as a leader, all right? It used to be in church where you said you come, you either want to be a member or you don't. If you're a member, you got to live by all this stuff we're talking about. If you don't want to be a member, well, get on out of here. That's not exactly the way it worked, but that's kind of the way it worked. So it's not our job to go around pushing people out. It's our job to be bringing them in. So along the way, I want to show you a diagram, all right? Some of you are going to freak out. You're like, I'll never understand that. Well, I'm going to explain it to you. It's very simple. We have three levels of leadership here at Grace Point. Three levels, I'm sorry, of involvement. Three levels of involvement. Number one is attender. Anybody walks in here the first Sunday, you are an attender, all right? You can attend for the rest of your life. You just joined the family. You're part of the family. We're going to hug you and we're going to smile and we're going to make you feel uncomfortable, all right? Because we want you to know Jesus loves you. We join the family. Well, somebody says, I'm ready to take another step. I'm ready. I want my journey to move forward. So you say, go to Growth Track. Get signed up for Growth Track. That's where you learn a little bit about the church. I get to sit down on the first session of Growth Track and just say, here's my journey at Grace Point, and here's what we do, here's what we're about, and then it goes on from there. There's 3 weeks of that. Once you go through Growth Track and you complete that, you can become a server. All right, so what you've done is you've upped your responsibility a little bit. Anybody can come and attend for the rest of your life. Nobody's going to make you feel guilty about that. That's where you say, I need some answers, all right? I'm looking for answers. I'm not ready to say I believe all this stuff that y'all say is in the Bible, but I feel drawn to it. I feel like God's doing something. I just don't know what. But then you go to the next step and you say, I want to become a server. So you begin serving on the Dream Team. And we have several Dream Team teams that are entry-level teams where you can immediately get plugged in. At this point, you haven't said, I believe everything this church believes, and I'm going to do everything this church says to do. You're saying, I'm on this journey. I want to be a part of the family. I want to serve, but I don't know about everything yet. And then there you say along the way, your journey takes you a little further, and you say, okay, it's time for me to become a member. Now, here's the key around here. Membership is leadership. If you say, I'm going to go from being a server to being a member, you got to do some things. You want to serve consistently, 3 months. You have to agree to the membership covenant. And so people would say, well, why membership covenant? Because we believe that Scripture is so important. The Bible tells us to make sure that our doctrine is correct. So if somebody's going to be a leader, then you got to be on the same page with the other leadership. It's that simple. You got to know where the line is. This is what we believe over there. We don't believe in that. We believe in this, okay? And so then you get to become a member. Now, again, you got to agree to the membership covenant. You got to agree to the teachings of the church. Accept accountability from people. All right? I have accountability from men in this church that hold me accountable. And you accept responsibility. You're saying, I'm going to be responsible and I'm going to be accountable. Now, listen, you can be in any part of that journey you want to, and that's great. There's nobody going to pressure you. We don't need to make a sale today. All right? Nobody's on commission, get you into membership, none of that garbage. Stay where you are until God takes you to the next level. It's okay. Now, why would we do this? Why would Grace Point Church give imperfect people a place to belong? Well, I think we can probably all answer this because the pastor's kind of jacked up himself. We'll start there. All right. So that's a good place to start. But here's what we're going to look at it from a scriptural standpoint. Why would Grace Point give imperfect people a place to belong as an attender or as a server? Because Jesus did. Jesus spent time with people. The Bible says, but the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered. Anytime somebody's muttering about you, they're not saying good stuff. They said, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Scandalous. He welcomed them and he had lunch with them. And that's exactly what we're trying to do here. It's about fellowship. It's about spending time together. Number two is we are all imperfect. We all start somewhere. We're all in this journey together. Number three, relationship is the environment of growth. I can't grow if I'm not in the environment of relationship. If I'm not in relationship with other men of God, then I'm not going to be growing the way God wants me to grow. So wherever you are, remember our mission statement is we are here to help each other grow, to take our next step in our journey with the Lord. So relationship matters. And then number four, why would we do this? Because church leaders are in place to make sure the doctrine and direction of the church are protected. All right? So when we're making sure that the leaders have the right ideas, we're making sure that the leaders are on the right page, that are doing the right things, okay? If not, we back up and have a conversation. I've had people have conversations with me like, you hurt my feelings when you did this or you did that. And I have to say, I know and I'm sorry. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't messed up. I've had conversations with people where they just really messed up. Many years ago, I had a leader here at our church that showed up to church drunk one time. I mean, falling down drunk. And I had a conversation later, and I said, what happened? And this person explained to me the entire situation. And I said, okay, and we agreed on a path of restoration and recovery, and we worked on it together. And God blesses that process. So we have leaders in place, but here's why we have leaders in place: to make sure that everybody who comes through these doors, everybody who's connected with Grace Point, has a place and a way to fit in and grow in their relationship with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Sanctification is about taking short steps with long vision. Sanctification says heaven is the goal. Heaven, that's a long vision, and it's just short steps. I'm going to get there, but it's going to be short steps, all right? When you see somebody else running ahead of you, that's okay. You take your journey, you grow at the rate that God has you growing. Sanctification is not about being perfect right now. It's not even natural, because we just want to do what makes us feel good. It's about growing. It's the path that earns or leads us into God's love and helps us share God's love in an even greater way. Now, here's the truth, and we're going to close in just a minute. Come on to the piano. Church is messy. Church was messy 2,000 years ago. Church was messy 50 years ago. Church is messy today. It just is. Sometimes it's hard to love people. Don't look at anybody right now. Sometimes it's just hard to love somebody. They just do something dumb. They mess up. People let you down. People fail you. People have other beliefs than you have. People come with big problems. People fall away sometimes. Misunderstandings happen and disagreements happen. But there is always an abundance of grace in the body of Christ. Our job is to love people. This message this morning to me is more about nuts and bolts. It's about how we move forward. There is a structure in place. We're not all, you know, hugs and smiles. There's discussions that are difficult sometimes, where one man will challenge another man to say, have you grown in this area? Are you growing? One woman will have a discussion with another one and say, is God leading you? Are you stretching yourself in your journey with the Lord? Church is going to be messy. Here's how we handle this stuff. We have conversations. We have conversations. If you don't understand something, you have a conversation with somebody else. We read the scripture a few minutes ago. Get along with other people and live a holy life is what he said. And so as we do this thing together, as we do it together, watch what Philippians chapter 1 says. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Amen. You see, we're just going to do this together. We're just going to just walk this journey out. Just love each other. Growing every single day. Just cooperating with God. So I want to ask you, what is the thing right now? What is the thing that God's asking you to do? What's the next step in your journey with the Lord? In your sanctification journey, what is it? What is it? What's the next thing? It might be as simple as I need to start reading my Bible more, or it might be I need to get rid of Instagram. I need some more accountability in my private life. I need to get an accountability partner. What's the next step in your journey with the Lord? I'm going to close with this. If we always do what we've always done, we'll always get what we've always got. Got to change something. Nothing changes until something changes. What is the next step in your journey with the Lord? Here's the beautiful thing. It's one reason I love our church so much. If you're struggling in an area, I guarantee you there's somebody around here that struggled with it and has overcome it and can help you take your next step in your journey with the Lord. But the first thing, the first step is to get over our pride and admit our wrong and say, let me just start. Let me get some help. Let me ask somebody else into my life. Maybe you're that attender who needs to go to server. Maybe you're the server who needs to go to member. I don't know what your journey is. But God's got a next step for you. God has a next step for you. He wants to take you on further down the road and use you. Let's stand together, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just lift our hands to him right now? If you're comfortable with that, as a sign of surrender. And let's just ask him right now, what's the next step? Father, we come before you today, Lord, in humility, because we know we need you. We know we need you. And Lord, we just want to put our faith and our trust in you this morning. God, we want to grow. We want this sanctification process to just keep going, Lord, to turn us into the men and women of God that you've called us to be. And we know, Lord, that we're going to have to do this your way. And we're asking right now, Lord, what is our next step? Lord, we just ask you to guide us. We ask you to help us to find the right people in our life to help us take that next step. Help us, Lord, to commit to you in a way that guides our thinking, Lord, so that we can walk this journey out with you. Lord, we pray, God, that you would help everybody in the room and everybody watching online, God, to just take another step. It's a long journey. It might be a winding path, but God, you're there all the way. You've got a plan, and we just want to surrender to your plan this morning and ask you to have your way and do your work in our lives. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 Now we're going to pile on to that with just a little bit of homework, if that's all right. Here's the thing. What's your next step? Now go tell somebody. Go tell somebody. It's probably not your spouse. It might be, but it's probably, fellas, it's probably another man. Ladies, it's probably another woman that you look up to in the faith, that you believe in their walk with God, and you find them and you go, here's my next step. what should I do? How can I take the next step? And get some input from somebody. It doesn't mean you got to do everything they say, but it does mean that you're in fellowship with somebody so that you can have some accountability and some encouragement and some prayer along the way. What's your next step? And who are you going to tell about it? God, bless us as we go and have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you, everybody.